This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend, Robert Stewart. Your number three Diamond Hogs are 20-2 on the season, opened SEC play with a series win over the Ole Miss Rebels. It was a fun top 15 series matchup there in Oxford. Just some interesting games, Robert. A lot of fun, a lot of runs scored. And then the Razorbacks came back home and they scored a few more against Oral Roberts on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, like I mentioned, 20-2, ranked number three in the country according to D1 Baseball, Robert. And this weekend they host the Cox from the southernmost state in Carolina. Is that a proper way to say that, or the southernmost Carolina state is what I should say?
Southernmost Carolina. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So the South Carolina Gamecocks come into town for SEC opening weekend in Fayetteville. So it's this SEC home opener for the Razorbacks. Bases loaded pint glasses to the first 1,000 fans on Friday, commemorative print on Saturday, and kids run the bases on Sunday, Robert. Going to be a good weekend in Fayetteville. It's been a really windy week, dude. The wind has been miserable. It's been like 45-mile-an-hour winds every day.
It was sort of unreal to watch that second game against Oral Roberts, where it was just whipping, you know, no fewer than 20 miles an hour all the time out to left.
Yeah, so the Razorbacks, like I mentioned, they win two over the weekend against Ole Miss. They lost on Friday 10-6, and then Saturday they win 12-3, Sunday 12-9. That was a fun rubber match on Sunday. Tuesday, 4-1 win over Oral Roberts, and then Wednesday they beat them 16-0, 12-run fourth inning, Robert. It was pretty wild. So we're going to talk about all of it on the Diamond Hogs podcast today, but we want to remind you that this show is powered by hogbeat.com. That is HAWGBEAT.com. It is a place that you need to be right now if you're a Razorback fan, because as we are speaking tonight, the Arkansas Razorback basketball team will take on Kansas in the NCAA tournament. We've got boots on the ground in Providence, Rhode Island. Our guy, Daniel Fair, covering the game up there. We got a lot of video on our YouTube page. Just type in Hogbeat, HAWGBEAT.com. And also on the website, plenty of free content. It's also spring football, Robert. So we got that going on. We're covering spring football as much as we want to and as happy as it makes us. And then we also, obviously, the baseball team is going on, and we cover every single game. So make sure you're on hogbeat.com. You can get all that stuff for free. We also have plenty of premium content that is going to be worth your money, less than $10 a month, less than $100 a year. Give us a shot. Thank you to everybody who checks us out over there at hogbeat.com. All right, Robert, let's get your thoughts. Razorbacks open SEC play with a series win at Ole Miss, and it really, I mean, like, it didn't feel like it was going to happen necessarily that way all weekend long, even up until Vejeva Aloy hits a home run in the ninth inning on Sunday.
Yeah, it was quite the series, wasn't it? I believe I mentioned last week that, you know, every time these two squads square up, it's must-see TV. Yet another example of that this past weekend. Like you mentioned, a lot of runs scored, you know, six in the series opening loss on Friday for the Hogs. It feels like the tail of the tape was just like weather the storm with Ole Miss. The first few innings, they're gonna hit you in the mouth, as Dave Van Horn would like to say, right? We definitely saw that. Ole Miss scoring two runs in all three first innings this weekend. They got five after the first three on Friday, held them to two the first three on Saturday, thus the decisive 12-3 victory. And then it was a bit of a struggle on Sunday as well, going into a 4-0 hole to start after three innings. But, you know, they've proven themselves a resilient squad this year, and we saw that again, probably the best example of it so far in the Sunday game, rallying from down four to take the lead, and then rallying again down one in the ninth with two outs to not just tie the game but go up three and take the series eventually. So, again, encouraged by what I'm seeing from this squad, lots of runs on the board, no doubt. Getting exactly what you need from Charles Davalon at the top of the lineup. Really impressed with him last weekend in particular, and nice to see him bring it back home and swing it well against Oral Roberts as well. Really, you know, setting the tone for the rest of the lineup as well.
If you put this series into context of last year, I mean, Arkansas would be hopeless because you think about what happens with your Friday night pitcher. Zach Root gives up 7 earned on 10 hits in 3 innings, which is another thing that we didn't. I don't know if we mentioned it on the last episode. I don't think we got to, but Zach Root got the start on Friday over Gabe Gackel, who started Saturday. I think that that was just based on performance, and you know, DVH is also a splits guy. You know, he left, right, left. So,
I think we had discussed that possibility
yeah.
before it became official.
So Root got the start, but last year, I mean, it was you know that you're probably going to win on Friday with Hagen, and then you got to battle it out the next 2 games. This one was, hey, you got shelled. Your Friday night guy got shelled. You still put up 6 runs, but you lost on Friday. You're gonna have to fight him the next 2 days. And as DVH likes to say, they fought them a little bit. Ole Miss would fight him at the plate a little bit. And so, you know, I think the thing that everybody wants to talk about right now, Robert, is that coming into the season, the pitching was such the storyline, the starting rotation, the pitching staff in general. And now here we are. It's March 20th when we're recording this podcast, and it's the pitching we're not confident in. And we're looking at the hitting stats, and we're like, holy crap, man. This team is freaking raking. How many home runs do they have? 47 home runs on the year so far. They're swinging the bat well. Vejeva's got 9 homers. Cujillo's got 8. Iredale's still at 7. Both the Aloy brothers hitting over 400. Iredale and Davalon both hitting over 380. But then you look. And Gabe Gackel's got a 5.87 ERA. Zach Root's got a 4.44 ERA. Even Bidalshi's 3.80. Like, I would have guessed all three of these guys would be sub 3.80 at this point.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a little bit of a script flip, right? Not what we were expecting. Certainly promising to see all the offensive production, especially at the top of the order, right? It's so strong at the top of the order. Like I mentioned, Charles Davalon doing really well so far. Went 8 for 17 in Oxford this past weekend. You know, it's been a quiet addition into the three hole is Logan Maxwell. Feel like he's not getting talked about because of all the production coming out of the leadoff spot with Chuck and then the two Aloys and Brent Iredale. But Logan Maxwell went 7 for 14, hit a couple of home runs against the Rebels this weekend, right? And I think he had another one against Oral Roberts midweek too. So it feels like it's really coming together for the offensive side of things. Definitely can't say the same about the pitching. I don't know whether to be concerned about it. I feel like, there's still 9 weeks for them to figure it out, or somebody to come out of the woodwork and say, "Hey, it's going to be me." Maybe Gage Wood comes back and proves that he's the, experienced SEC arm you need.
Yeah.
Who's to say? We'll
One
see. We'll
thing
see how it goes.
over the weekend was they did post, I think it was Thursday or Friday, but one of their just generic posts on the team social media account did include a picture of Gage Wood throwing. So, you know that they do that stuff on purpose. So that's notable. I would think that's a good sign. I'm trying to think back. I want to say this South Carolina series was the one that I projected as like the earliest we could get Gage Wood back based on their initial timeline.
I think you might be right.
I'll go back and find my Gage Wood story, but I did want to just real quick go through a couple events in some of the games this weekend. I maybe start with I had stuff going on Saturday, but I kind of kept up with the game. But the back to back to back, Robert. I mean that you know that's so cool, and it also featured the brothers going back to back.
Right. You feel really good when it starts with Davalon, right? Not necessarily known for his power, but it's certainly been on display of late, during his hot streak. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, the Aloys going back to back, super cool. I mean, I'm trying to remember the guys who they showed on one of the midweek broadcasts, major league brothers who have done it before. It's like two sets of brothers that, it's just not a common feat. That was really cool. Helped set off an 8-run inning, in the what fifth there. So they go up 9-2, and it's like, well, just get some arms, some action here, and you feel good about how that game goes, right? Iredale gets hit by a pitch. Maxwell Pepe get knocks. Chase Riley Maddux from the game. Cam Kojal RBI double. He had a really good weekend. Went 6 for 11 on the series. Drove in 4 runs, scored 3. It was really just top to bottom production.
Yeah, and then the next day, Sunday, the Razorbacks have 16 hits, man. And there were 26 total hits in the game. Excuse me, sorry. 12-9 win for the Razorbacks in that one. And this is another example of a game that even just last year you look at it, this team probably doesn't win that. You go they just have some adversity there in the bottom of the eighth, and they go down 9-8. Jackson Wiggins gave, or not Jackson Wiggins, Carson Wiggins gave up a hit and run RBI single with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. And I just feel like Arkansas probably, even just last year, Robert, in the top of the ninth, they just go away quietly. And that's not what happened.
Yeah, it would be, if we were sitting in 2024 with that team, it would be hard to feel good about the chances of a comeback at that point and down 4-0 after 3, right? This year, totally different story. It's fun to feel like you're in a game for all 27 outs. And that's exactly what they did. They escaped from the jaws of death.
Yeah. So, did you already talk about it? Davalon hits the RBI single, and then to tie it up 9-9, and they were down to their final out too. That was with two outs, and
Exactly.
then two pitches later, Bejava Loy drives his second home run of the day to right field, scores 3 runs, gives Arkansas a 12-9 lead.
I'm pretty sure Davalon, that was the he put that ball in play on the first pitch. Is that right?
I have it pulled up right here. Just give me 1 second.
Inning starts with an error. Who was it that got
Yeah,
the knock?
it was first pitch, and then Vejeva was second pitch, so
Yeah.
pretty
So
pretty solid.
it was Rocco Pepi who keeps the line moving with a single. And then so you got two on and two out. And yeah, it was first pitch, Charles Davalon. It's like, well, Ole Miss fans can't even really get into the at bat, right? Because it's one pitch, tie game. And then Vahiva Loy, what that was a line shot the other way, wasn't it? I mean, I was like, just get over the outfielder's head. And I didn't know it was going to clear the fence. That was impressive.
Yeah, I think I quote tweeted that with Vejeva Loy wants to be a first round pick. That's what he wants to do, and he is playing his hardest to become that. And
He's looking that way.
he's a lot of fun. He's hitting .402 on the season now, team high 35 hits, team high 8 doubles, team high 9 home runs. He's one of only 3 players, along with Ryder Helfrich and Kendall Diggs, to have a triple. 28 RBI, which is actually third on the team because Iredale and Cujillo both have 30 plus. But even the strikeout numbers aren't as crazy for Vejeva. He's got 14 strikeouts, 11 walks. He's been hit by 6 pitches, so he's got more free passes than strikeouts so far.
That's a good recipe for a first rounder.
Yeah, so he's definitely got things going his way. Did you want to talk about any more of the pitching? So Gabe Gackel, I thought, looked, or at least on paper, better. Gives up 2 earned on 1 hit, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, and 4 innings for Gackel on the start Saturday. And then Bidelsheath gave up 4 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and 2 1/3 on Sunday. So Bidelsheath's en route, disappointing outings. Gackel, based on how the rest of his season has gone, it was an encouraging outing.
Yeah, let's throw it all the way back to Friday and break Zach Root down, because the stat line I think was a lot uglier than his performance should have reflected.
It was.
3 innings, 10 hits, 7 earned. That's not great, right? But consider that, some of those hits were to the infield. There were a couple of bloop doubles. It was a windy day in Oxford. I'm not ready to hit the panic button on Zach Root at all. I think he'll come back to Fayetteville. Put up a much better outing. I don't know if he'll get through 6 in a quality start, but expect his strikeouts to be much closer to 10 than 3, I would say. And let him cook. Let's pump the brakes on panicking on anybody, particularly Root. Carter McGuire combined for 3 innings after that. give up three more runs. Really, the story on Friday is just they couldn't retire the leadoff batter. Ole Miss got all six of its leadoff men to start the first six innings aboard, and all six of them scored, right? So that's just not a recipe for success. Ben Bibee looked good. It was funny. We were texting Andrew Hutchinson before SEC play started. He was like, over under 1.5 SEC innings on Ben Bibee this year. Bibee goes out and throws two in the opener. So that was kind of funny. I thought Bibee looked good, albeit in a low leverage situation. Like you said, Gackle better for sure. I'm still kind of iffy about the walks. I think that was at least his third game in the last three or four starts in which he walked three or more batters. Did get through four. Strikeout numbers a lot nicer with eight. But then the relief pitching, I thought, was really this one of the stories. Obviously, the 8-run inning helped a lot, right? But Parker Coyle continues to look really good. I think that was his first earned run allowed all year. Am I making that up?
It had to have been because he hadn't allowed any, so.
Yeah. So that's pretty good to make it to March 15th without having allowed a run. Through two innings, struck out four. And then Aidan Jimenez looked really good, finishing three no-hit innings, striking out six, and actually earning a save for his effort. So really good from the back end in, again, a relatively stress-free situation, but got to feel good for your confidence there.
Yeah, I agree with you on your assessment of Root also. I don't think that we should necessarily worry about him yet. All right. Ready to move on to the midweek wins, Robert.
Yeah, do we need to shout anything out from Sunday? Obviously, Bidalshi's not getting through three. Will McIntyre had a nice relief outing for sure. 3 1/3, only gave
Yeah.
up one.
I made a comment on the trough message board on hogbeat.com that was the Golden Spikes edition of Will McIntyre.
Yeah. Gave
So.
up one leadoff solo home run in the sixth, I think, but I thought he was really, really impressive. That was only one of the two hits that he allowed. So, Christian Fauch comes in, gets an out. They didn't give up any hits. Walked one, I guess. Colin Fisher comes in. I feel like they were running thin on arms by the time they were up three late on Sunday, right? Fisher struggled in the bright lights. Did give up three earned in just 2/3 of an inning. Dylan Carter with a little cleanup work, and then Carson Wiggins, as you mentioned earlier, coming in, throwing a couple innings and picking up the win because of the heroics from Davalon and Vahiva Aloy in the ninth.
All right. Okay.
Might as well have been a save, but because he was the pitcher of record, he'll take the win.
So after the first weekend of SEC play, Arkansas ranks first in the league with a .342 team batting average across those three games. So they had 41 hits on the weekend, dude.
Yeah, it's a slugfest. I mean, and these are like experienced Ole Miss starters. We talked about it last week. Arkansas's seen every single one of these starting pitchers before, and other than Hunter Elliott, they saw them all pretty well.
Yep. So you lead the conference. Cam Kozul in SEC play ranks second with a .545 batting average in SEC play now. Six hits and 11 at bats on the weekend, drove in four runs. Rocco Pepi, Logan Maxwell, Charles Davalon all up there as well for just SEC play. I did want to point out, I do think Charles Davalon is top 10 in the SEC in hits right now.
I mean, he should be.
He's ranked fourth in the league with 33 hits. Vahiva Aloy, third in the league with 35. So there you go, two top five hitters in the league.
This month alone, Charles Davalon is 24 for 50. That's a .480 batting average for those of you keeping score at home. And he's hit four home runs, got a nice little 1279 OPS going.
His 33 runs scored on the season ranked second in the season. Sir, I'm sorry, second in the SEC. I'm just trying to see if there's any other notable leaders here. I don't really think so. I mean, there's Vejeva Aloy and Cujillo Aloy are top 10 in a lot of hitting categories, so I would go check that out. But good for I think that Charles Davalon quietly is like a top 10 hitter in the SEC as far as hits right now. So good for
I would
him.
agree with that.
Good for him. All right, moving on to the two wins over Oral Roberts. And before we do that, let's tell you one time about our friends at Bet Saracen. It's a great time to check out Bet Saracen. I want to remind everybody, if you don't have the money to spend, do not spend it. Do not spend more than you're willing to lose on Bet Saracen. But if you have the money, it's a lot of fun to get over there, check out the options they have. Arkansas and Kansas in the NCAA tournament tonight, Thursday night. If the Hogs advance, you'll get a lot more opportunity on Saturday, whoever they play. Most likely St. John's. That would be a fun matchup. And also with baseball, though, you can get all the specials, the double R props. You can bet on your favorite players to hit home runs, RBIs, hits, total number of pitches, a lot of different fun stuff. You can also just bet straight up on the money line, the run line, the over under. And that's not it. They have every sport imaginable: tennis, hockey, UFC, soccer, golf, NASCAR, all of it. Bet Saracen. Check them out. Thank you to Bet Saracen. You can only bet if you're in the state of Arkansas, so that's why it's great, because we love the great state of Arkansas. So check them out. Thank you to Bet Saracen, and they are the official mobile sports gambling app of Hogbeat.com. Or not app. We don't have an app. They're our partner on Hogbeat.com, official mobile sports gambling partner. It would be cool if we had a mobile sports gambling app for Hogbeat.com. Okay, let's move along to the wins over Oral Roberts. Robert. No relation to Oral, do you have?
No, thankfully, no.
They don't
We'll
call
leave it
you
at that.
Oral. We need to start calling you Oral Robert. Hey, Oral Robert.
I'll pass on that.
Hey, you had a birthday, by the way. Happy late
I
birthday
did.
to Robert. No,
I
we
did.
should
Thank you.
mention
Thank
that.
you.
How was your birthday?
It was a great day. Unfortunately, I missed with the time change on Saturday, I missed the game live, but it was fun to watch back Sunday morning.
Okay. Well,
But I had a great time out
all
partying in the district, so.
right. Well, moving on to the important things in life. Arkansas baseball beats Oral Roberts 4-1 on Tuesday. Ben Bibee gives you four scoreless to start it, Robert. Gives up one hit, strikes out five, no walks. That is the addition of Ben Bibee that you would like to see.
Yeah, definitely building on his stint in the game on Friday in Oxford. So that's at least six consecutive scoreless innings for Bibee that he's strung together, which has got to feel good for him, right? Oral Roberts, not a bad midweek team at all. I know that they only scored one run in what 16 innings the last couple days, but this is a team that you may recall was in Omaha a couple years ago, right? This is a good squad. Very well could see him in a hypothetical Fayetteville regional later this year. I believe that broadcasters mentioned their league, the Summit League, is only six teams. So, statistically, they've got a great shot every year at making the tournament.
This is a team that I would love to see in a regional. I don't think they're good. I don't. I don't at all. Although Will Edmondson, shout out Will Edmondson, he's on their team. I did
Yeah.
not know that until right before first pitch Tuesday,
Yeah, that was a.
when Phil Elson goes leading it off for Oral Roberts, Will Edmondson, and I was like, oh, there's Will Edmondson.
That's a familiar name.
Yeah. So notables: Zane Becker gets the start in this one behind the plate. Carson Bowles started in this game, didn't really do a ton, walked twice. Other than that, we did get to see Justin Thomas Jr. for a brief moment, which was notable given the fact that he ran straight into a wall in Oxford and did not stop. And he
As a
had
defensive replacement, by the way.
literally the first play as he was a defensive replacement. He stayed in that inning, but I do think that he was replaced by Bowles, maybe. No, I don't remember. They ended up having to throw Gabe Frazier in the outfield, I think.
Rocco Pepi pinch hit and then played left, and then Gabe Frazier pinch ran for Rocco Pepi, and Gabe Frazier finished the game in left field.
Yes, because DVH said that Frazier doesn't even have an outfielder glove, and he just asked Frazier before the inning. He was like, "Hey, can you go play outfield?" And he was like, we just got him. We just found him a glove that would work. It was an infielder glove, but he went out there and then they hit a ball at him and he got the job done. So.
Yeah, that I mean that's what happens when you start Diggs, you pinch hit Bowles, you bring in Thomas as a replacement, you pinch hit for him. There were five guys used in the number seven hole that day. And you know, sometimes that's just the embodiment of whatever it takes to win. You got an infielder playing left field.
So he also said that he didn't have anybody left post game after that. I want to say Phil Elson said that Tyler Holland was available, which is kind of interesting. But Tyler
I
Holland,
don't even know that name.
he's honestly, we're talking about Tyler Holland right now. But Dave said preseason at a Swatters Club that they brought Tyler Holland basically in as a walk-on guy. He's out of Mission Viejo, California. He's a true freshman. And I mean, he was hot in the preseason, dude. He was hitting everybody. He was one of the only guys that was consistently hitting Gabe Gackel. And he's listed on the roster as an infielder slash right-handed pitcher. I don't recall seeing him pitch, but he seems to be the only two-way player on the team aside from Kuhio Aloy, who can also pitch, but I highly doubt we will see him pitch.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need for that the way he's swinging the bat.
Yeah. So back to the wins over Oral Roberts, though. Another thing from this game Tuesday, Parker Coyle was in to pitch, and he was about to face his cousin Owen Coyle. And then Oral just decides to pinch hit for Owen Coyle, so we couldn't get the Coyle on Coyle. What the heck?
It was a real bummer. It was His last at bat, you saw Parker Coyle warming in the bullpen because Cole Gibler was having a little bit of a rough start. Gave up hits to his first three batters, right? And then did strike out Owen Coyle, got things back on track. But yeah, that was feels like two different times we were robbed of a Coyle on Coyle matchup.
Yeah. Other things from this game. Christian Fauch comes in and closes it down. And that's about it. Not a ton of offense in this one for either team. 8 hits for the Razorbacks, 7 for Oral Roberts. Davalon, 3 hits. He's just swinging it, man. He's swinging it
He
really
is.
well.
He is. Give credit to Brendan Asher, their starter. I thought he pitched well, opposite Bybee for four innings,
Well,
right?
the thing is, man, I don't want to give him credit. So
Okay, so
you can give him credit. I don't want to give the guy credit, but go ahead.
don't do it then. Interesting that, I mentioned it was a top heavy lineup earlier. Not that it's not, complete, but still top heavy. The seven of the 8 hits for Arkansas came from Davalon and the two Aloys in the 1-2-3 holes. So thought that was interesting. Also wanted to mention, and we can talk about this a little bit getting into Wednesday's game against Oral Roberts. Ole Miss shifted a lot. I think that was sort of one thing that the box score is not going to tell you. I feel like Ole Miss shifted a lot over the weekend, and Arkansas generally and Davalon specifically did an excellent job of beating the shift. It was the Saturday game in which they won 12-3. He beat the shift in three different ways, went over the deep second baseman in the first inning, and then had a couple singles to left through, when they had three infielders on the right side of the field. And then bring it back to Wednesday's game against Oral Roberts, single to the shortstop twice in his first two at bats. If the shortstop was just playing at a normal position, might have been a routine 6-3 ground ball.
Yeah. I mean, this team offensively, man, they're much better than they have been at least the past 2 seasons. This is your best offense since 2022 for sure. And yeah, they can do the situational hitting. I feel like DVH has said, post game more this season than he has in recent history, that this team has done well with the situational hitting, the two out hitting, the hitting with runners on, like you're talking about, hitting against the shift. And it feels good to have those guys that you mentioned that, they're in the order, get you your hits, your Aloys, your Iredale, your Davalon now, even Logan Maxwell swinging it. Like, it feels good to have those guys that when they come up, you got a good feeling they can probably get a hit.
Right. Take the Sunday game. Like you mentioned, two outs, 8 for 16. With runners in scoring position, 9 for 20. So that's two really key metrics that they're at or right around the 500 mark, and that's how you win those battles, those Sunday games that are really, really tight. And then you fast forward to Wednesday when they had the 12-run inning in the fourth. Let's see, 7 for 13 with 2 outs, so that's over 500. And then 6 for 15, that's 400 on the nose with runners in scoring position. So just really, really getting it done. When they give you extra outs too, right? Like there were 6 unearned runs, I believe, of the 12 in Sunday's finale, and then 6 of those runs in the 12-run inning on Wednesday were unearned as well. So it's you talked about the difference between last year and this year, right? You didn't feel like it was necessarily an inning extender if an opposing team made an error last year. It wasn't a given that there were going to be extra runs. Feels like it definitely is this year.
Yeah, even if they get 2 quick outs, they could still go
Right.
and score like 8, you know.
Right. You think about the third inning on Wednesday, right? There was a leadoff walk to Maxwell. Aloy strikes out, and there was batter's interference on a stolen base attempt. So that becomes a double play. And then all of a sudden, hit by pitch, Cam Kojal RBI double, right? It doesn't matter if there are 2 quick outs, they show up.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun, man. And Wednesday's win was also a lot of fun because they did it 16-0 in 7 innings, and 12 of those 16 runs came on 10 hits in the bottom of the fourth inning, right, Robert. That bottom of the fourth, the Hawks sent 17 total batters to the plate. 14 hits in this game, 10 of those came with runners on base, 7 runs scored with 2 outs. And the wind was blowing up to 45 miles per hour in Fayetteville, out to left. So.
It was interesting looking at my scorebook here. The only guy who didn't reach base was Cam Kojal, who made the last out. I mean, like he did the first time he batted in the fourth, right? But and even then, that ball made it to the track. Like everybody whose batting average went down before him, at least got on base via error or fielder's choice or both. There was one where there was a fielder's choice, bad throw to second or whatever. Everybody was safe. It was the true embodiment of the Bugs Bunny conga line.
And then after all of that, the Razorbacks also one hit him and shut him out. So
Yeah.
that happened too. Great start from Colin Fisher. We also saw Tate McGuire look really good. Dylan Carter gives up the only hit, but still a scoreless inning. And then Steele Eaves. I thought Steele Eaves was gonna blow it for a second. I think he had a 2-out walk, but then he came back and got the job done. So just an overall really dominant win for the Razorbacks. You know, it's kind of not much else to say about a 16-0 win, Robert. You score 12 in one inning. There's not much that the opponent's going to be able to do about that one.
Yeah, the 12 runs in an inning, is that, am I correct in saying that that was tied for a program record?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I could look on the Athletics website and see if they put that.
Think I remember hearing that from the broadcast, but can't quite remember.
I'm gonna have to read, man. Oh, here we go. The Hawks exploded for a season high, 12 runs in the bottom of the fourth, 2 runs shy of matching their program record for runs in an inning. They scored 14 runs in one inning in the first inning against St. Louis on April 7th, 2010.
Okay, so it's most since 2010. That was the part I should have remembered.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, the Hawks stay hot in midweek games. Not everybody in the conference can say that.
No. Look, man, I've retired from my Tennessee trash talk since they have won a national championship, but the Tennessee Volunteers did lose a midweek game, and to ETSU, I think, Eastern
Yep.
Tennessee State University,
Blew
and
a two run ninth inning lead, and then gave up a solo shot in the 10th, I believe.
yep. So there are no longer any undefeated teams in college baseball, and also, just national college baseball news. Our friend Mitch Voit from the Michigan Wolverines.
Notes app apology.
If you guys remember him, he just literally just tried to snort the freaking line at third base like it was cocaine on national television. Like people weren't gonna see that happen.
I mean, it made for great internet content, but I can see how that's a tough look for parents trying to explain that one to kids watching.
Yeah, Tracy, head coach Tracy Smith probably wasn't happy about that one.
No.
But shout out Mitch Voit. He did issue a no-tap apology for that one. All right. Moving on to the series against the South Carolina Gamecocks, Robert. So
The Yardcocks.
the Yardcocks are currently 17-5 on the season. Opened 2-1 in SEC play. Excuse me. Goodness gracious. Who did they have a series win over?
Wait, they were 2-1? I thought they lost to Oklahoma.
No, I'm looking at their road record. So open 1-2, that's right, because I thought it was interesting that they lost a series to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not
New
that good.
SEC team getting it done first weekend on the road.
Although, I mean, Oklahoma is 18-2.
I was gonna say, I don't know if you can call them not good. They're definitely better than they have been, in years since they made the finals. I think that
Yeah.
was 22, right? Yeah, Oklahoma's not a terrible ball club at all. A couple of close losses. South Carolina is a program that's I guess on the way back up with Palminteri at the helm now, right?
Yeah. That's crazy, man. When's the last time Palminteri was coaching in Fayetteville? You know, it's been a minute.
22. When
When
did
did he
Jay Johnson get
retire
hired
from
at
LSU?
LSU?
We need to pull up the last box score of Palminteri's last game in Fayetteville. That would be a fun exercise.
I believe Maneri, let's see, 2021 was his last year.
Oh, that's not as long ago as I thought it was.
Okay. I thought that Jay Johnson won in his first year at LSU, but it was his second. That's right. 2022 was, I seem to recall Arkansas sweeping LSU, but that was Jay Johnson, not Palminteri. So
21.
Maneri would have coached the 21 series in Baton Rouge. That means 19.
All right, I found the box score for Mineri's last game coached at Baum Walker Stadium. LSU beat Arkansas 3-2 that day. Arkansas did have a much better record. Let's see. LSU was number 15. Arkansas was number 4. It was May 11th, 2019. Connor Nolan goes 5 1/3, 4 hits, no earned runs. Three walks, or I'm sorry, 3 strikeouts, no walks. Cody Scroggins was the one who gave up 2 earned runs. Jacob Costyshock gave up 1. Landon Marceau for LSU, 5 innings, 7 hits, only 2 earned runs. Listen to some of the names in this lineup, Robert. Casey Martin, Matt Goodhart, Dominic Fletcher, Heston Kerstad, Jack Kinley, who was a solid second baseman. Jacob Nesbitt, Casey Opitz, Christian Franklin. Curtis Washington came in this game as a pinch runner, the pride of West Memphis, Arkansas. Jordan McFarland had a pinch hit. Man, some names.
The good old days.
Oh, here's a name from LSU, Giovanni DiGiacomo. You remember
DiGiacomo. Yes. Love that name.
him? They also had Antoine Duplantis, Brant Broussard. Cade Beloso. Man, these are some names.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Worth noting, by the way, that Arkansas, that was, even though that was an LSU win, it was salvaging a game because the Hogs had won the previous two games by a combined margin of 25-10.
Oh, nice. Man, some of the giveaways this weekend. They did a free jersey Friday, a Razorback bobblehead giveaway on Saturday. Commemorative pin giveaway on Thursday. What are we doing? These would be awesome nowadays. All right, we need
Only
to
the
talk.
best when Palminteri comes to town. Anyway, I guess we should get back to the Cocks, huh?
Let's talk about the Yardcocks.
So, even though they lost the series, it is interesting. You mentioned Arkansas's 342 maybe in the conference led the SEC to this point. South Carolina hit 336. Like I mentioned, a couple of close losses, one by three, one by one, I believe in extras in the rubber match, maybe. They've got five different guys hitting over 300, just overall on the year, not specifically SEC play. Nathan Hall's their center fielder, their leadoff guy. Ethan Petrie, you remember him? He's been around for a minute. Jace Woida, Jordan Kerryon, Kennedy Jones, as well. Henry Kazmar, their shortstop, led the team with six hits last weekend against the Sooners out of the nine hole. That was an interesting note there. As far as the rotation goes, this is the way it was against the Sooners. Righty Brandon Stone, he is a sophomore transfer from junior college. Let's see, he went five innings, five earned against the Sooners last week. On the year, much better numbers, 3.42 ERA. Should be noted that was his first start of the year, so who knows if they're going to keep it that way. On Saturday, they started, what is his name? Jake McCoy. He's a lefty sophomore. He did throw an inning and a third scoreless against the Hogs in Columbia last year. Jake McCoy, if I can pull up the stats here. On the year, 5.25 ERA in five starts. Had a similar outing to Brandon Stone. Gave up four earned on nine hits in five innings against Oklahoma. And then Dylan Eskew is the guy who I am expecting to see on Sunday. He is a senior, been at South Carolina for a while, threw five and two thirds against the Hogs last year. I believe he gave up four earned in a, or oh, excuse me, was gave up four runs. Only one was earned. So was the, caught the short end of the stick on some errors. Looks like Hogs won that game 9-6, if my statistics serve me correctly. Let's see, Dylan Eskew, 2.08 ERA in league play. So only gave up one earned in four and a third against Oklahoma. That was his fifth start of the year. He's rocking a 1.77 ERA overall. So he seems to be their best arm, their most experienced arm. Wouldn't be surprised if they rely on him. Other names of note on the pitching side of things, Jarvis Evans has started four games with a 3.09 ERA. He did not throw against Oklahoma, so perhaps he's hurt. And then Tyler Pitzer recorded a four-inning save against the Sooners over the weekend. Interesting stat line. No earned runs, five walks, six strikeouts.
All right. When I look at this South Carolina team, you can look at their 17-5 record and kind of be like, man, they've lost five games, but they were swept at Clemson, and then they had the two losses to Oklahoma over the weekend, and that was it.
So two conference losses and three losses to a really good Clemson team.
Yeah. Clemson was in the College World Series last year, right? No. 2 years
Don't know.
ago.
I don't know if they've made it recently. Maybe they have, but I know they've hosted at least one of the last two regionals or regionals in one of the last 2 years, I think.
They've at least been successful in recent history, so not a
Oh, yeah.
bad baseball program there. I mean, they were ranked number 13 when South Carolina lost to them earlier in the year. So, not a bad baseball team at all. It's going to be a tough series. I'm excited, man. Looking at the weather this weekend. Let's pull it up because the weather has been a factor in Fayetteville this week.
Yeah, it was really cold on Wednesday, wasn't it?
It's currently 34 degrees.
Oh
Feels
my.
like 28. Or no, that's Fort Smith, sorry. Fayetteville feels like 20. Friday looks like it's going to be windy again, low of 38, high of 64. Saturday, you're going to be sunny, but still in the 60s, and then Sunday, cloudy, probably going to be in the 60s as well. So, not exactly to baseball weather yet, Robert. We're almost there.
Yeah, a couple of mid-afternoon starts on Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, after 6:30 on Friday.
Let me pull it up. Scrolling. Here we go. 6:30 Friday, 2 o'clock Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday. Yep. All of them are going to be on the Plus, the SEC Network Plus. Oh, I did want to mention this. They're going to start doing discount dog day at the park, man. Can you
That's
believe
awesome.
that? Now, it's not $1 hot dogs. They're still freaking screwing us out of our money. They're charging us two. Why can't you just charge $1? We all know how cheap hot dogs are and hot dog
Also,
buns.
it's so much fun to say dollar dog.
I know. I don't want to say $2 dog.
Whole extra syllable, and it's not alliterative. It's terrible.
So they're rolling out their brand new discount days at the ballpark promotions between March 25th, or I guess it's just March 25th and April 15th. So $2 hot dogs, hog pen ticket special, $13 online, $10 at the ballpark, hog heaven team store sale, $2 game day scorecards, and $10 season yearbooks. I don't know how much that stuff normally costs, to be honest with you. So,
Nor do I. We'll
all
have
right.
to ask our good friend, producer Christian.
Yeah, producer Christian would know. But that'll be fun. The discount day at the ballpark is going to be on Tuesday against Missouri State. So that's a game we will be talking about on the next episode of this podcast. Robert, anything I would ass well, I was going to say I would assume they're going to stick with the same rotation, but we don't really know. They'll probably announce it Thursday. Do you think they'll stick with Root, Gackle, Cheese, or I mean, we might even get a surprise. Hey, Gage Wood's back, and Gage Wood's starting. That would be wild.
I think Gage Wood would be the only factor that could disrupt that rotation. I think Root is still worthy of the Friday spot based on how he's pitched overall on the year. I guess the only change I could foresee that doesn't involve Gage Wood is just switching Gackle back to Friday. But I would expect Root and Gackle in some order, probably that one. Friday, Saturday, and then cheese on Sunday.
Am I crazy to say that I would like to see a little bit more Zane Becker, a little bit less Ryder Helfrich?
I don't think that's crazy.
Okay. Just had to throw that one out there.
I
Am
mean,
I crazy?
I
Go
know that
ahead.
the pitchers like working with Ryder Helfrich because he's more experienced. He's been there, right? But I think Zane Becker has probably been the more impactful bat so far this year.
Yeah. And then I just think that they got to figure out. They got to nail down that third outfield spot. They got to figure out who's going to be.
I think it's got to be Maxwell.
Well, I was thinking it's Maxwell and Davalon, and who's the third?
Oh, I see.
Okay, who were you thinking? Because you said you think it's got to be Maxwell. Were you putting Justin Thomas Jr. in there?
I was assuming Thomas would be in center, yeah,
I
but
don't necessarily think that he's like a lock in the lineup anymore. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just being down, and I don't want to be down on the guy because he's our Moneyball guy.
right. I mean, certainly after that collision with the wall on what Sunday, you have to wonder about that a little bit. But it's not like it's not like Kendall Diggs is getting a whole lot of action, right? They're factoring Carson Bowles into the equation. It feels like more and more. So, I assume that Thomas makes sense in center, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of them has to prove himself offensively and see how it goes. Because
Well, it
it's
sure
not
as
like
heck
one.
hasn't been Kendall Diggs yet.
Yeah, right.
He's hitting 195. He's got 8 hits on the year. So we'll see. Let's get our Missouri check real quick before we finish this episode, Robert. Where are we at with the Tigers of Missouri?
Yes. So I didn't see any lines on Friday. Do you have scores from that game? Or
No, I mean, I have their overall record. I should pull up their baseball.
okay, check and see what it was Friday. Saturday, I didn't look for a line. However, if there was one, I'm sure Missouri would have covered it. I believe it was a one-run game. And then Sunday, I think it was 5.5, which was pretty steep for a conference game. But I think it was a five-run game, so they squeaked one out there too.
That's not even fair, dude. We can't say that Mizzou covered when it was a 5.5 run spread in a conference game. But they lost 12-5 on Friday.
Okay, so if there was a spread on Friday, surely LSU would have covered it.
Yeah.
We're going to call the Tigers either 1-0 or 2-0 against the spread. We'll see how this trend continues.
I hate that so much. They're 8-11 overall on the year now. 0-3. Who do they got coming up this week? They got Ole Miss at Columbia, Missouri. Hey, they're doing a blackout on Friday. SEC poster series.
I'm
Dog
sure
Van.
all few hundred people who show up will make it look really cool.
I will say this is fun. On Sunday, they're doing Bark at the Park. They're giving away dog bandanas, and kids can run the bases. That's fun. Good job, Missouri.
Are there going to be more dogs than people?
Well, I hope that they have fun cleaning poop up off the turf. So, all right. Well, there we go. SEC standings. Do we want to do them real quick?
Yeah, run through them.
Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, all with one loss still. Texas, Georgia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, your two loss teams. Auburn, 17-4. The Yardcocks, 17-5. Vandy, 16-5. Ole Miss, 15-5. Kentucky, 14-5. Florida, 18-5. Mississippi State, 14-7. Texas A&M, Robert, started 0-3 in SEC play. They're 11-9 on the season. Who
They're
did?
reeling without Jim Schlossnagle, it would appear.
Did was it Bama who swept them?
I believe it was.
And then, as we mentioned, Mizzou, 8-11.
Stellar dwellers.
Gross.
So how did all the series shake out this last weekend? There were three or four sweeps, weren't there?
Yes. So
Tennessee swept Florida. That was a big one.
Tennessee swept, Texas swept, LSU swept, and Bama swept.
Okay, so the Hogs are one game back of four different teams right now.
Yes, along with Oklahoma, Auburn, and Georgia. Georgia, man, look out for Wes Johnson's boys. I think they're ranked number four now in the country.
The Hogs are only a couple road trips away from going to Athens for a three-game set, I believe.
That's going to be a tough one. They're good.
Yeah,
They're good.
and you may recall that Arkansas did not win a game in Athens 2 years ago.
Oh, I recall.
Against a much inferior Georgia Bulldogs team.
But they had Charlie Condon.
They did have Charlie Condon. That dude is going to hit so many home runs at Coors Field in his life.
Yeah. Hey, Jack Caggs, by the way, for the Royals. A lot of people sleeping on that pick. He is raking. So, all right. Thank you everybody for listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Reminder, one episode a week, no YouTube, only audio version. Check out hogbeat.com. Get in on the gambling action on Bet Saracen responsibly, please. Do not gamble more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, Robert, for joining me on this podcast. Keep up with all the news, notes, noise, everything you need for the Razorback baseball team on hogbeat.com. We'll be back with you next week here on the Diamond Hogs podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.